9:54 Pacific time. We wait for more people to join in over the conference call line. And when to show up. Good morning. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Mac from Utah.
Good morning, Mac.
Good morning.
How are you, Mac?
I'm doing pretty good. Thanks for asking.
All right. Thank you for being here. The music faded out on CBS. Thank you. Good morning. Welcome to the next caller. Please say your name and location.
Hi, this is Mike from Westchester, Connecticut.
Good morning. Is it Mike? Did I hear Mike from Nebraska?
Yep.
All right.
Me.
You sound in the background. Good morning. How are you doing, Mike?
Oh, we're doing quite well. It's a little crispy here, but it finally did get up to 14 degrees.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds pretty hot, yeah.
Yeah, it's crispy, all right.
Doesn't beat my 83, come on.
You're right, Lucy.
All right, more people joining in. Doctor, please say your name and location.
Hi, this is Mike Diaz in Los Angeles.
Good morning, Mike. How are you doing, man?
Very well. How are you guys?
Good. Thanks for being here. And somebody else joined in. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, everyone. This is Jerry from Buffalo, New York.
Hi, Terry. It's Jerry or Terry.
It's Jerry with a J.
Yes, yes, yes. I know it's Jerry. How you doing, man?
Very good. Thank you.
Thank you for being here. Good morning. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, it's Valerie in Half Moon Bay, California.
Good morning, Valerie. How you doing?
Fine. Hi. Thank you. Good to be here.
All right. Thank you so much for being here.
I was going to ask Mike Diaz why he's up so early, but then I realized he probably hasn't gone to bed yet.
That's great.
Nobody ever asks me that.
Good morning, Wynn. You know you never sleep. Good morning, welcome to the call. Please say your name and location. Good morning, welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Susan in Delaware.
Hey. Hi, Susan. Welcome to the call.
Hi.
Joel in Chicago.
Hey, Joel. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you, sir?
Good. Thanks for being here. And more people have... Call, please say your name and location.
Hi, this is Martha in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho.
Hey, Martha. Welcome to the call.
Hi, thank you.
And I believe more people joined still in here lately, and if you want to name a location.
Mary, Lincoln, California.
Hello, Mary. Welcome to the call.
Thank you. Hi.
For being here. Good morning. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Carol, Seattle.
Good morning. Welcome to the call.
Am I the first person?
No, you're not. So you sound like a number one, but we have many people here already. Good morning. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Steve in Fremont.
Hello, Steve. Welcome to the call.
Good morning.
Good morning to you. All right, it's 10 o'clock and live on BBS. I welcome all those on BBS Radio. It's a matter of waiting. Can't hear you, Wynn. Good morning, welcome to the call. Your name and location.
Hey, hi. This is Ray from Nevada.
Hi, Ray. Welcome to the call. How you doing?
I just called here yesterday, didn't I? Or is that my imagination?
That is not your imagination. That's your good memory.
Okay. It's good to be on the call again.
Yes, great. Thanks for being here. Have we had more people join in? Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location. If you want to.
Does anyone see the information on Aaron's port?
Hey, we have background.
Yeah.
I think it is this one. I do need to mute the lines, which...
Who is Aaron Schwartz?
Aaron Schwartz was the young kid who created the Reddit and was a big proponent of Internet freedom, and he's one of the people that went in and was getting a lot of information for the MIT. He was kind of a quiet hacker, but a brilliant, brilliant mind, put together lots of different websites and just billions of internet searches and created just a ton of information, and at 26 years old he committed suicide. They were prosecuting him. And the Massachusetts U.S. Attorney's Office was threatening him with 30 years in prison. And basically, you know, it's a for crimes, no victims. And they just drove him to suicide. It's sad.
Sorry.
Really, really important.
Hello. All right.
Good morning. We had several more people join in. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Reagan Lippy.
Hi.
Chris in Memphis.
I hear Chris. Chris, welcome to the call.
This is Donna in Kingman.
Hello,
Allison
Donna.
Allison Sturgis.
Michael Waterly.
Good morning, Michael. Welcome to the call.
Do we have somebody? Good morning, everyone. It's Jim from Sedona.
Hey, Jim. Welcome to the call. How are you doing?
Thank you. How are you doing? Good to hear your voice.
Thanks for
being
here.
Good morning, everyone. It's Allison Sturgis from California.
Good morning. Welcome to the call.
Oh, Allison Sturgis. I thought you were in Sturgis. I was going to ask you if you had a motorcycle.
No, not yet.
You know what Sturgis is?
Yes, it's Sturgis, South Dakota, where they all meet in the bike rally.
Right, right.
Morgan from California. Hi.
Good morning, Morgan.
Hi, Dom. How you doing?
Don for breakfast. Hi, everybody.
Hi, this is Gail in California. Hello.
Good morning. Welcome to the call, Gail.
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 Yeah.
Gail. All right.
Sounds like someone's tenderizing some steak.
Oh, well, it's better than
which
eating peanut butter.
Or churning butter.
Well, they want a train.
Talk about neurosis.
You know, it's somebody that read about the Zen enlightenment, where at the beginning, chop wood, at the end, chop wood.
Yeah, or what is it?
Carry water, chop wood, carry water.
Carry
water, chop wood,
wood.
Right.
Wood. Yep.
You can't hear the carrying of water. But, let me see where it's
sound of carrying water. While waiting for enlightenment, yeah, I think it is while waiting for enlightenment.
Good morning, I'm here.
Terry, you're here.
Yes.
Hi, Terry.
Good morning.
Hi,
Terry.
I don't have to go in.
Good morning, Terry.
All right, I want to welcome those who just joined in. If you want to do some presentation.
Zoe Sacramento, good morning.
Good morning, Zoe. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Susan in Mesa.
Good morning, Susan. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Are we almost ready to start? Let's see what time it is.
7:05.
Yes,
7:05.
We could start. All right, let me fill up my coffee cup before we start.
Hey. Did I hear somebody else come in from Sedona?
Oh, no, this is Chris. I'm going to Sedona.
All right.
I'm going to see a friend in Las Cruces, and I'm going to Sedona.
Nice. Know who to meet there, right?
What's that?
You know who to meet?
Oh, yeah, I think he might just try to hide from it.
Oh, yeah.
So what is the beverage of choice for everybody? Tea or milk or coffee here?
Now, if there are more people who want to announce themselves and haven't done so, please feel free to do so.
Hi, Mel from England. Hi, everybody.
Mel. How are you doing?
I'm marvelous, thank you.
Great, thanks for being here, man.
Hello, person from England. I'm just curious, how did you hear about the, how did you hear about this?
Hello?
Mel has been here with us for years.
Oh, okay. Did he hear about it coast to coast? I'm just curious. On the radio?
I love that show.
I got to know about Wynn when I heard him on a show from, there's a guy called Damien Fenn.
A radio show?
There's a lot of things with alternatives in London.
Uh-huh.
He interviews a lot of top people around the world, and obviously Wynn's going to be top people around the world. So that's what
I'm sure you've read Freddie Silva's book, Secrets in the Fields.
That's what I thought. That's real. That's C. Wait a minute, unless that's an old game, because that's the Seahawks.
Oh, yeah. That needs to be a good line.
Didn't I give you a call?
Good morning, welcome. Your name and location.
Hi, this is Carolyn. I'm in Sacramento.
Hi, Carolyn. How are you, babe?
I am the same, and I'm doing well. I'm alive.
All right.
Hi, Carolyn.
Yes?
For being here, I'm Carolyn.
Is that Carolyn formerly from Uganda?
Yes, it is, and I'll be going back in less than a month now.
You know what, Carolyn? Your voice sounds good today. You know that?
Thank you. I'll be switching off phone and going to the internet connection.
Okay. Do you normally hear us okay on the internet?
On the internet, yes, but sometimes it's better when you go on Skype. It's louder.
It's
clearer than my phone.
Even BBS is clearer, right?
Uh-huh. I've got the screen up right now. CBS and two their healing meditation, Winfrey, and it's part of your face.
Part of my face. I didn't design that. You know, I want you to know.
Well, they cut off your
That's a good angle.
Is that Doug? Is that Doug?
It's fine. I recognize you, and the sound is clearer now on the phone.
One day I'm going to redesign that because I'm not sure it conveys the correct image.
That's kind of a Zen thing to just show part of something.
I recognize you and I like the background, and so it works for me. So do whatever you need to.
All right.
Gail from California hasn't been here for a few weeks, and I missed it.
That's Gail from Gail, right?
Yeah. Hi, Wynn.
Well,
What city in California?
Santa Cruz.
Santa Cruz?
Yeah.
That is a beautiful city.
It is. It's cold today. It went down to 27.
That's pretty unusual, isn't it?
Yes, it's been very cold here.
I gave a talk when the Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce came out. I gave a talk, I think it was Barnes & Noble. I don't know if it's still there. Barnes & Noble, or what's the other big bookstore?
That's gone, too. There's just Netflix bookstores left now.
Borders.
Borders. I think it was Barnes & Noble, though.
Borders.
Yeah.
Was it 2004?
Yeah.
Your first time on Coast to Coast as well.
Yeah, were you there? Were you there at Borders?
I heard you on Coast to Coast.
In 2004?
No, recently.
Recently, okay. Well, send letters to George. Tell him how much you get out of our work and encourage him to put me on again.
All right, I'll do that. Great.
George at coasttocoastam.com. And
Derek Parker.
Say when?
What?
When we did that prayer healing for Paula,
yeah.
I felt a series of vibrations going straight down my spine and kind of moving all my little indentations there.
Yeah. Well, you
it was
got
more
it.
Like the heart level.
More like what?
If my heart level are 412, what are you in the car? The heart check. Yeah, my son is fine.
Just want to let you know, call number 93 for 5 o'clock, canceled, Donna.
Sounds like we got a police car listening to us. All right. Well, let me mute everybody. And...
this conference is being recorded.
This is January 13th, 2013. 13. Wait a second. 1-13. Never mind. 1-13-13. And I'm still recovering. You know, it's interesting. When we do a big event like yesterday... and particularly when we charge for it, it means we have to be really good, and I have to be really focused, and Carla has to be focused, and we're feeling the energies of everybody. Usually the next day, I would stay in bed and sleep and recover. But here I am again, and I'm glad to be here, because one of the things I've learned is that I can come as I am, and it's okay. And even if I'm a little tired, spirit just comes in. And that's a good thing to learn. Wait a second here. I'm just getting our healing list. It's a good thing to learn that you don't have to be something. You could just be who you are. And you let the words flow through you. You let the energies flow through you. And it works out better, usually, than if you're trying to be something. It reaches people deeper. And every one of us has that challenge. Now, the difference here is because we built a track on these calls, and you folks participate in the energy, whereas if I had a bunch of strangers hearing me for the first time, or if I was giving a public talk, I would sound different, because particularly for people that never heard me. And this all happens automatically for me. I've learned how to just be neutral, stay in the center, and it flows. in the right way. How do you get things to flow? I think you have to look at how do you grow spiritually? How does growth actually take place? What is that clicking in the back there? That sounds like Dave. I'm going to mute you, Dave. There you go. I thought it's interesting to note how we grow, because then you can look at it for yourself and see the things that make a difference. And one of the things that makes us grow is experience. Our life experience, the things we think we want. And we go into things and they either work out or they don't work out. But regardless of whether they work out or they don't work out, you're giving a track of experience and you're integrating experiences. And over a certain amount of experience, you start to get the feeling of, if you do this, it goes there, and if you do this, it goes there, and you may start making better decisions. And there was this English poet by the name of William Blake who had a really great saying about this. And it was, the path of excess leads to the palace of wisdom. The path of excess. Now, I discovered that quote years ago, and it really made me think, because at the time I discovered it, in my mind, there was a way of being good, and that the path of excess might not mean being good. It might mean getting drunk. It might mean doing drugs. It might mean being promiscuous. It might mean many things that in coming from a spiritual perspective, you would think are good and you should not do. And I'm not encouraging anyone to do those things. But nonetheless, if you have gone through periods of doing those things, you end up getting wiser, if you're smart, because if you survive, because you see where they go. You see where the end point is. And so after a while, you say, I don't want to do that anymore. I remember when I was in college, it was fairly common practice to be smoking marijuana, and everyone got together, and there'd be people, you know, the good point of it was that it was a point of community. People would hang out and feel senses of community doing that. It was an excuse to come together in somebody's living room. And after a while, I realized that I was getting really spaced out. I couldn't focus on things. Now, on one hand, the feeling of being spaced out seemed like a positive thing. And on the other hand, the inability to focus, sometimes for a few days at a time, didn't seem positive. And after a while, I said, I'm cutting this out. No more. No more of this. And that's how one learns. If one is following a set of moral codes, I'm not saying that's bad, and moral codes have their purpose because they protect us from each other, at least in some way of speaking. They keep us from killing each other, from yelling at each other, you know, from stealing from each other, and those are good things. But
if your whole life is based on a moral code, there may be areas of experience that you're not getting that might be really important to your growth. Now, not everyone needs these kinds of experiences. Everyone is different. Everyone has a unique path. And sometimes there's angelic beings that come into this realm, and they need different kinds of experiences. They don't need the path of excess experiences, although they may end up having them anyway. Some of you can understand that, but you've had those experiences, and you don't have to judge yourself for them. It's done and over, and you're moving on, some of you. Some of you might be in those experiences right now. And, you know, I talked about smoking marijuana. That was my experience. Somebody else might have a different experience with it, and there's no judgment. But when it stops, it stops. When you come to the conclusion, no more, no more. And in the meantime, no matter how much someone else tells you about something, until you're coming from your own wisdom and decision, you're going to continue that experience. Or if you stop it because somebody else says it's bad for you, then you're going to not really stop it from your own inner self, and you'll probably go back to it. Because each of us has to get our own inner discernment sharp. So one way you learn is through experience, through doing this, doing that, doing this, doing that. And you know, one of the tricky things about experiences is some things feel good in the moment and bad in the future. In other words, they leave a residue of either guilt, shame, or lack of focus. And when it feels good in the moment, it's not so easy to figure out to say, I don't want to do this anymore, until you observe the pattern over a long period of time and you say, geez, I can see where that goes, and I'm not going to do that. And some of you can relate to the fact that that's the way you grew. So another way you learn, one learns, is through affiliation of energies. For example, on our calls, there's an energy present that many of you are learning to feel. And when you participate in an energy that is bigger, more expansive than your normal waking energy, and when you recognize it, you can reprogram yourself over time to this new energy. And as you do that, you'll start to feel different, and you'll be more expansive. And I've watched this occur for people who keep coming into our calls, that many of them, after a certain point, start holding the energy in their lives. They hold it as a new reference point, a new, not even, that's not a reference point. They hold it as a new foundational energy. They start to feel different. And so you have to be patient, because it doesn't happen right away. And it's not easy to be patient, particularly when your life is screwed up, when you're in pain, when something hurts. You want instant gratification. And I do too. I want to say now. I want it to change now. But it doesn't seem to work that way. It works as a gradual integration. And so what's happening is that everyone comes to the table with a bag full of their past, of their past habits, of their habits from previous lifetimes, of things they've done that they have shame about, which they don't even remember, because many of times it's from past lifetimes. And when you do things that were hurtful to other people, or maybe you were a killer or murderer, you know, and you die and you keep coming back, you end up with shame and guilt. And you don't know why, it's just there. Being very apologetic about yourself, like hoping no one notices that you did those things. And of course, no one does notice, but they do feel your guilt and your shame, and they say, what's going on with that person? And so it's learning to observe yourself very carefully and recognizing when you have that quality, because then you can go into the process of forgiving yourself. And one thing that helps someone forgive themselves is doing acts of goodness in this lifetime right now. And that starts to convince you that, hey, I'm really not a bad person. Because you don't remember that you think you're a bad person because you were a mass murderer 50 years ago or 1,000 years ago. It doesn't matter. It stays in your system, and it doesn't go away for a long time. In fact, it doesn't go away until you forgive yourself. You can have many lifetimes. And in fact, oftentimes people that have those patterns will go redo the same thing over and over again in lifetimes because nothing else works. They feel like an outcast. They don't fit in. And so they repeat the old pattern and they become a murderer again, or they become a thief, or they become a burglar. And it's their only way that they know of how to get by in the world. And until they come to a place where they forgive themselves, they truly forgive themselves, then they're going to stay contracted in those patterns of the past. And that's another way you grow. I believe that what we're doing is giving lots of keys so people can use these keys and switch their lives. There's nothing here to really believe in. I mean, you can, and there's nothing to follow, although you may think you're following, but you're not. We're just showing up, and we have, like, an extraordinary team of people here that probably have made more mistakes than you can imagine. So the only reason we can do this is because we've made the same mistakes. I remember Bob Dylan once said, I forgot more than you'll ever remember. And I suspect he's one of those people that have an old soul that's made lots of mistakes, and it's just why he could write such amazing lyrics when he was, I don't know if he is now, but when I was young, I would say I remember living with my parents and living in this contracted environment where I didn't think anyone understood me except Bob Dylan, because he could write lyrics that touched through the collective, that touched through my environment and reached me. So all of us are in a process, and there's never an end to the process. There's only a flow. There's enlightenment. What people call enlightenment is really being able to stand in the middle of a flow and let yourself move with the flow.
in truth, you are a flow. And everything is always moving. But most often, people don't experience that because they're not able to let go into that flow. So they have to freeze it. They have to have a belief. They have to have things to clutch onto because it's scary to be in the flow. And it's something you have to build up slowly, step by step, and learn to let go of things. And again, it's your own experiment. How do you grow? You experiment. At least that's my way of approaching it. We started these calls, and for a couple of years, some of you have been on the calls, I said, this is an experiment. I don't know how to do this, which was true. It was an experiment. And the experiment had to prove itself by being beneficial to other people. Because if we were not being beneficial, if someone else was not benefiting from it, why do it? How do you integrate these energies of these higher intelligences, the Elohim, the Ra group, how do you integrate them in such a way that it's meaningful, that doesn't make people give up their power, that doesn't make people genuflect? What is genuflect? Getting on your knees and saying, help me, help me, help me. They don't want that. And they do want you to ask for their help. But as a friend, one friend to another friend, I would say, is a closer aspect of how they operate than wanting you to defer, to say, I am nothing, you are everything. That's not coming from spirit. You are not nothing. You are everything. They are everything. I am everything. It's just, how well can you know that and put it into practice? It's not an ego trip. It's a practice of experience. How much can you experience yourself being everything? And that is how you grow. And it's step by step. But it is most definitely possible to grow. Most definitely, because so many of us have done it. I've grown. Terry's grown. Daphne's growing. We're all growing and learning as we do this. We are not some endpoint that says, here we are, perfect masters. The more I know, the more I feel like a novice. And the more I know, the less I know. Because the whole thing is so incredibly huge. And the idea of getting into the flow, you know, there was that saying, let go and let God, is exactly a way of expressing what I mean. Let go and let God. And it's like, what are you letting go of? Letting go of the desperation. Letting go of the angst. Letting go of the fear. And you might be able to only let it go small moments at a time. And that's okay. It's like practice. Let it go for as long as you can. And let... Who was I? I don't know if I said this yesterday. I don't want to repeat it, but this idea that you have to empty things in yourself for something new to come in. If you don't create any emptiness, there's no space for anything new. Like, if your house is cluttered, and you bring something new into your cluttered house, then there's no place to put it. It gets lost immediately. If you're filled with beliefs, if you're filled with ideas about how things work, if you're sure of yourself, you're stuck because there's no room for something new. If you're filled with fear, if you're filled with anxiety, there's no room for anything new, and you don't grow. So somehow or another, and you have to figure it out, you have to take moments and empty yourself. You don't have to be totally empty, just a little empty. So there's room, so something new can come in. And that's how you grow. You know, when we do these calls, and I say, I have to be empty to walk into this call and do it. I have no idea what I'm going to talk about. Now, I've kind of practiced this for a while, so other people may not be as good as I am at this particular way of doing it. But even when you're in a social situation, I'll give you a hint about how to be empty in a situation that can cause things to flow into it. Now, we all have this social obligation feeling that when we're with someone else, that we need to talk. We need to entertain them. Silence can be uncomfortable. You know that feeling of like jumping in and filling the silence and having to do something, telling a joke, whatever, telling them, let me tell you what happened to me, and let me tell you about my husband or my wife. And so we're always jumping in and filling the silence. And guess what? The silence is where the emptiness is. And so if you wanted to approach it in a different way, then when you're with somebody, don't jump in and fill in the silence. Just say, tell them you're trying something new. I'm learning how to be with somebody without talking. And now they may feel weird and they may walk away and they say, well, forget you. Won't see you for a while. But the people that stay, if you can learn to hold the space of silence, eventually something will come in that is creative, that is not your normal pattern of relationship. And there will be a deeper interchange. But it wouldn't have happened unless you went through the uncomfortability of not filling in the spaces all the time. I remember I had an experience one time where when The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce came out, I was invited to a party in San Diego of fairly well-to-do, New Age people. And it was at the home of this therapist's house. And when I came in the door, and there were all these people talking, I got introduced as the author of The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. And everyone was enthralled. Oh, Edgar Cayce's back. Where does he live? Is he doing readings? Blah, 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 blah. And they were asked, I felt like I started trying to be socially correct. And I started answering questions as they were asking them. And eventually I said, I'm wasting my time. I'm not telling anybody anything that's relevant. And they're just taking my energy and asking these questions. And so I changed the game. Somebody would ask me a question, and I said, I don't answer that. But if you want, ask me what's really important, and I'll answer that. And so they would say, okay, what's really important? And then I started talking about what was important in the book and in my experience. And I had a better time at that point. At least I wasn't being trivial, going off on trivial things. Now, it wasn't easy for me to do that. I mean, socially, this was a group that was well-to-do, and I wasn't well-to-do. I was barely living in my RV, and, you know, there's an automatic subconscious deference that people have to people that have more money than they do. So, and people that have more money expect you to defer to them. So I stopped deferring to them, and I said, ask me what's important. I'm not answering that. And I actually gained respect, and I actually probably shared some things of value. And the evening was not wasted, whereas it would have been wasted otherwise. So each of you has these situations that if you're creative, you can turn them around so your interchanges with people become more meaningful. Also, when you're true to yourself and you just don't go along in a social situation that's boring, but you're doing what's expected of you, you get a lot of points. You get more courage. Your spine gets stronger because, you know, you've made the decision, I don't want to waste my time. I want to be real. And as you make these kinds of decisions, something shifts inside you. And as those things shift and you get used to them, you say, hey, it's okay to be like this. It's okay. You start growing in your spiritual awareness. And it's an active participation. You're making choices. You're noticing when you feel trapped in conversations. And you're wriggling out of the traps, but not running away, staying there, and giving something of higher value than people even knew they were going to get. And after a while, it will integrate, and you'll start feeling like a new person. Everyone is in the middle of all of this, and this is how you learn, and this is how you grow. And we're all in the same boat, constantly taking in data, weighing the data, and changing as a result of the data we take in. And at the same time, we're learning how to connect with these higher aspects of ourselves, which we call the Elohim and the Ra groups, and understanding that it's all one. And as much as they look awesome and huge and big, which they are, they're also aspects of us, just as we're aspects of them. Just as your little toe is an aspect of your body. So we're like little toes, and they're like bodies. And that we learn how to affiliate with their energies and incorporate them, because that is a huge momentum for growth, of speeding up your growth. Because I've said this before, and I think this is right. You know, many people, many spiritual people say that time is an illusion. That there's really no such thing as time. And that
time is the illusion that allows us to individuate, because it creates a past and a future. And the truth is, there is no past and future. There's only now. Only now. And everything we've done in the past exists now. Everything we've done in our past lifetimes, which we did then, gets moved into the now. And so we are a moving now. We are in the middle of the now. This is what flow is. You are in the middle of now, 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 now. And so what we call our past lifetimes is really not in the past. They're in the now. Not how you looked necessarily, not what you did, but the consequences of what you did, for positive or negative, are in the now. And these group souls are really in the now. They are in the now. I mean, but they have future and past, but their future and past, I'm sure, operates differently in a different way. You know, it's part of the illusion. It's what Rock calls distortions. Just moving into the idea of future and past, because as long as we're in a life, we're going to experience a future and a past. But when we look at the idea that everything is in the now and that future and past are just illusions, then when we tap into these higher energies, the Elohim group, Ra group, then we are tapping into an energy that is really in the now. And suddenly, these energies are prior to where we created our karma from. And so we have an opportunity to clear patterns, and we do this sometimes in the meditation. We talk about it. We have the opportunity to clear patterns by accessing energies that are prior to the time that the pattern got established. It's kind of like if you're into Windows XP, you know that Windows has this ability to, what do they call it, reset your whole system to a previous state. So if you got a virus yesterday, you can reset your system to the day before. The day before you got the virus, and the virus disappears. Well, I think it's a similar idea, that you can reset yourself to the moment before you had a negative experience that lodged itself into your system. So, for example, let's suppose you have an attachment or a curse or something really, really over your head that bugs you and you can't get rid of it. Can you reset yourself to the day before that happened? Can you reset yourself to the day before you did some horrible act and that you carry lots of shame? Well, you know, this is an exercise. Everyone has to figure out how to do it. But working with the energies that we're working with on our calls and in our materials, it gives you the energies to reset yourself. It gives you the keys. And I don't know how to say how to do this linearly, except by paying attention and have the vision of it. And of course, sometimes on our meditation or visualizations, we do it. And I particularly focus on that idea of resetting ourselves in the matrix above the place where lots of negative things happened. Many of us came from very high realms. And
the fact that you came from a high realm does not disqualify you from being totally screwed up in this realm. In fact, it probably increases the chances of it because you come here and you can't find home. You feel separated from everything. You're not interested in what everyone else is doing. And you came here to be a liaison to the higher realms. And once you're here, you have no memory of it. So you need to find things to wake you up, to bring you to a place of memory. And you need to do things. Another way of waking up is to do things which are in line with your original mission of coming here. What would that be? It would be like, I'm going to go to Earth. People are suffering. I want to alleviate suffering there. And you don't have to do it every day, all the time, but fit in some time every week where you can do something that alleviates suffering. And you have to figure out what that is, but there's a panoply of things in front of you. There's volunteer work, going to old age homes, going to hospitals and talking to people, playing music if you play music, join a suicide hotline, volunteer for something that we're doing, but find something that aligns you with your original mission in coming into this realm, and a lot of energy will come in if that's correct. You'll feel fulfilled. You'll feel acknowledged. And I'm looking here at our healing page. One of the things we've been learning how to do, I have been learning how to do, is to work with group energy and realizing that when we're in a group, we are always more powerful as a group than we are as an individual. And when we combine groups or combine each other in groups, and when we join with our sources in a group, it becomes really, really pointed and focused. And miracles can happen, except they're not miracles. They're only miracles in our realm. In the other realms, everything is loose and flowing. It's kind of like things shift immediately as soon as there's an intention. In this realm, things are sticky with inertia, so it takes a lot more to shift something. But when we start merging realms, when we start merging the other realms in this realm, it becomes easier because we have a bridge between the realms which allows things to shift here. And if you could tap into that, things can happen for you that wouldn't happen otherwise. So we have a healing list that people write up things that they'd like to happen for themselves, for other people, and for our planet. And just remember, if you want something to happen and you ask, you need to take the actions that will bring that about. And if you're looking for a job, it means knocking on lots of doors. If you're looking for a romantic partner, it means going out with people every night. Looking on the internet for other people that are looking for partners and finding affinity. One of the things I notice is that people that are paying attention to our work, oftentimes expect miracles to happen immediately. They'll ask, fix this, do that, fix this, do that, and it doesn't happen. Why doesn't that happen? because they're still holding the patterns that are creating the old stuff. So it's good to keep asking, and it's also good to ask, what do I need to let go of to let this happen, and what do I need to do to make it happen? And we have Patty in Alabama, and we put in the light a new job and a new path more in line with divine purpose. We have Suzanne in Tucson, Arizona. And we send the light to her healing. We have Tracy in Auburn, Washington, working out issues with her family. Let's send the light to her family and her family issues. We have Shri in Chicago. He's moving to Chicago, looking for a job, and ask that he finds the things that he's looking for. We have Gretchen. Let's send the light to her knee pain. She slipped on the ice. Where is she? She is in Idaho. We have Cricket in Michigan. I think somebody is sending the light to Cricket. May her lungs continue to get stronger. And the vent be removed. Donna in Rossay. I think it's her niece's husband, Jerry, who's having open heart surgery. Let's send the light to that operation. We have Barbara in Tweed Falls, Idaho, healing of all her relationships, especially with her friend Kay. Jude in California, sending the light to Stephen, L'Oreal, and all adults and children of the world and myself, healing of all emotional, mental issues, working with her foreclosure issues. We put Chris in the light with his liver. Marilyn for the healing, who just came from the hospital, feeling better every day. Sally, quitting smoking, finances, work, deed of support. Gary in Redondo, healing of his liver and his eye. Ray in Henderson, my cousin's dog took very ill. Sending the light to the dog, who's at the vet, in Everett, Washington. Herta, in Florida. Sending the light, I think it's her left shoulder. Barbara, in Richmond, Virginia. Sending the light to her husband's spine for healing. And Suzanne in Amsterdam, Netherlands. Support in reaching her goal the coming week and to be able to reach out in a good way. and Viviana in Tonescott, Washington. She asked the questions. Are the beings channeled through you from outer space or dimension? We talk about that all the time. Go listen to our archives. I can only tell you how they describe themselves. They say they're pure energy, and they were here before the universe started, and that they can flow into the universe from where they are in a way that we can feel their energy. But I can't prove any of that. So you have to read that yourself and see if it resonates. Jyoti is sending the light to her son, who is abusive. Eric, sending love and healing to his best friend, Muska. For her health. And let me see. Let's do our visualization. If you happen to be listening tonight for the first time, we go through little sections on this call. And one of the most popular is this guided visualization where we, many people, experience how it feels to expand beyond their body, how it feels to tap into the energies of the higher realms. And we start off with the principle that the universe is one being, one energy, and we are part of that energy, although many times we lose the experience of that, and we feel isolated and alienated. And right now, there's a chance, an opportunity, to let go of that feeling of separation and feel how it feels to be connected to all that is. And so everything is part of each other. We're going to see this energy coming from the earth, through the earth, and right through our floor, into our feet, into the bottom of our feet. And remember, we are the earth. The earth is us. We're in this temporary illusion of separation. But underneath the illusion is the same energy. And can you feel any tingling in your feet? Can you feel the earth? Tell the earth you love her. If we have it right, the earth has been our host for many, many lifetimes. And most often, she's taken for granted. And we move up from our legs, feet, to our calves, to our thighs, through our
our groin, through our solar plexus, through our chest, and into our head. And there's a feeling of connection. Some of you can feel it. We move through the top of our head and move into the room we're in. And you can feel the room filled with energy that you are projecting out from yourself. We're touching the ceiling. We'll move through the ceiling and through the roof. And into the sky. If you recall, we were talking about there being no time. Time is an illusion. So, we're moving up not only through space, we're moving through time. We're moving through our past lifetimes. We're moving to the point where we first individuated, first had an awareness that we existed. Prior to that, we were undifferentiated energy. And everyone has this point. Everyone individuated at some point, and prior to that, they didn't exist as an awareness. They existed as a pool of energy, but not as an individuated awareness. And as we all move to this point of first individuation, we are aware of the rest of us being there. And at that moment, we create a group of all of us just individuating. We're innocent. Now, we're still here. We are still in the physical, we're still in our bodies, we're not astral traveling. We are moving through timelines, but never losing our position in this moment, in the here and now. So we formed a group energy of all of us present. Now, some of you can feel in your bodies this energy around your forehead and the top of your head. The two chakras that are called third eye and the crown chakra. And your energy is leaving your crown chakra. And in metaphysical lingo, crown chakra is your connection to intelligent infinity. And we could call our sources intelligent infinity. So we have connected with each other, and we're going to connect with our sources at the same time and invite them to join our group. And we're communing in other dimensions. We're communing at the place where time stops or just starts on the fringes. And just feel how it feels to hang out there.
some of the spiritual scientists talk about the field, this field that connects everybody. Well, when we go into this space that we're in right now, we are in the field. And here we are, a bunch of strangers, supposed strangers, on a phone line, and yet, shut your eyes and imagine that you're feeling the other people on the phone line. Because you are. Imagine you're feeling the energy of our sources. Now, this field is flowing through all of creation. And you now are in the center of the field. And so this is the time to send the light to someone. Sending the light means including them in this field. You are the creator here. I am. We are co-creating. And we are doing things for the highest good of all concerned and honoring free will. And we can move this energy where we want, as long as we're honoring the highest good of all concerned. And if we don't know, it'll automatically be modified. So let's ask for your own personal healing. I want you to go into your body, into the places prior to where your body is out of balance. Into the atoms, into the cells. And ask for a recreation of those places inside you that are dysfunctional, sick, dark. And send this light to those people that you want to give support to, that you want healing to occur for. Remember, not everybody will receive it. And we're honoring free will, and we're honoring the highest good of all concerned. But we've had many instances where people have emailed me. For example, I sent the light to my son, and he suddenly called me the next day. We've been estranged for 3 years. This can work. So, as many of you know, we have conversations on these calls with intelligences that say they're in other dimensions, that claim to have created the physical universe, and that say they're working with us in what we're doing. And there's two people who have been in my life who have been a voice for these intelligences, and they're going to address us right now. And I'm going to do a little invocation of protection, and all of you are helping with that. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surrender and protect everyone here, and any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe, through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. And we create a protected space that only the positive has access to. And anything not of that nature must leave now. And we're going to hear a communication through my dear friend Terry Brown from a source that identifies itself as Ra'an.
We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. This is Ra'an. This is January 13th. 2013, and we are delighted to make contact with those that wish to have contact made with you, and we see the broadness and the scope of where the listening, where each of you, the listening audience, is, and not only listening, but participating in this process of purification and of coming to home, the process of knowing that you are more than your body. You are more than, and your life is more than the area, the location on Earth where you are, the circumstances of your own life in that area, which is providing a unique ground for growing and learning. You are going through, many of you are going through difficult lessons that teach that you are not your body, that you are beyond the body, that you are the master of your body and the master of your situation. And if there is something within your life that you are struggling with, that you have written on the healing list and requested information, requested healing, that you are senior to those situations, that you can overcome those situations. Sometimes the situation that the body finds itself in is very difficult. And if you can know that you are more than that, you have a life that continues beyond the body, and that the things that you are running into, the difficulties that you are running into, can be circumvented by your becoming more confident in the fact that you are not those situations. These are things that you have run into. You are beyond those situations. And those situations will pass. And you will be able to have them in your memory or your subconscious memory as the rich background of experience that you will be able to draw on, that will give you knowledge and confidence. These situations are not you, and that you are greater, you are more than these situations, and you will pass through them, and you will move beyond it. Because of those experiences, you will be able to be more knowledgeable, more powerful, more able to negotiate life's difficulties in the future. Some of them are very difficult lessons, lessons of life. And we honor you that you have chosen this path for knowledge. And we love you immensely. You are the forerunners, the anchors of new civilizations that learns from the past and is able to bring great wisdom into the future. And we are with you in each of your circumstances that you are moving through. And we do not mean to minimize it. We are there with you, and we are sending grace to be able to unlock difficulties so that you can move through and grow and come out the other side. We love you. We leave, but we do not leave.
Thank you. You know, years ago, when I was with Daphne and we were just the two of us alone, and there was no one except Terry who was paying attention, or I won't say no one, but very few people, and there was a channeling that came through that said, I was attending the university. They said, universe. And that there were teams of professors, not professors, but you could call them professors, beings that were training me and teaching me. And I would say that all of you who are paying attention to our work are in the university as well. The universe, they said, universe city. And we're learning to grow beyond our limited human perspectives. And we have all this work on the internet now. We have the spiritchannel.net, where we have hundreds of our past sessions, and many of you are availing yourselves of this. Many of you are listening. I'm amazed of how many hits we've had. We've had it up for about 2 months, and we have about almost 13,000 hits, and people from 20 different countries. And it's like it's working. You're using it, and you're all in the university, the same university I was in, and you're all learning how to be bigger than you ever imagined you could be. And so take advantage of our archive section, the spiritchannel.net, and we have our Wednesday night sessions with all of the questions people have asked. And you can look, because the questions are listed, you can look for the questions that relate to you, because they are there. We all are going through similar things and learning how to expand. And it's a free service that you can take advantage of. And yesterday, we did this extraordinary 3-hour session with Carla Ruckert. And most of you probably know who Carla Ruckert is by now, because she is like the grandmother for all this work. And without her doing what she did, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing. David Wilcock wouldn't be doing what he's doing. And in 1981, she went through this extraordinary 3 years of channeling a voice that said it was the Ra Group. And her partner asked huge amounts of questions about how the universe works. And this was breakthrough, because it's been hundreds of years since the Ra Group had a source that they could speak through, that they could trust. And her books are available for free on her website. They're available in book form on her website. 5 books. There's many other books that she's written, but there's 5 books of her original Ra sessions. And what we've started to do, and she and I have been friends for years now, and the Ra material is not easy to understand. It is very deep. Every paragraph you could probably contemplate for a day. And so Carla and I did a session yesterday where we started going through the Ra material, picking paragraphs, and simplifying their meaning so they're more accessible. And if you weren't there, there will be a audio of it, which is available, a 3-hour session, and I hope you'll listen to it. I'll send a notice out. We have a donation for, suggest a donation is $20, but you can write in your own amount and get it for as low as $5. And if there's enough response, which I think there is, we'll probably do a session like that once a month and continue. So we'll have a whole archive of I called it the raw material for dummies, where we try to translate it in a way that everyone can understand. And I know from the emails I received after yesterday's session, people were very enthralled by what came through. This is not channeling. We're not channeling on the line. We're bringing through and discussing the raw material. And I don't believe Carla has ever done this with anyone before. So she's fairly reserved. She's fairly shy. And we've developed enough rapport and trust where I feel honored to be able to work so closely with her in bringing this stuff through. So watch your emails today. If you weren't there, there's an opportunity to get the audio. And if you were there, you'll get the audio anyway, because we'll be sending it out to everyone who participated. Now, it is 12:31, and we're going to do a planetary healing right now. And what we're doing is we are taking advantage of the group energy that we are creating by being here. We're taking advantage of the fact that we have learned, have learned how to put our energies together in the higher dimensions and become a team with our sources to project shifts on our planet. As I've come to learn, what happens on Earth and the ability of Earth to receive support and help and the population of Earth is dependent on the balance between positive and negative in this realm. In other words, there are what we could call negative, service to self beings here that have intentions to control things, to enslave things, to have power, to amass money. And the underlying belief is that they could create their own kingdom in this physical universe. And they're very powerful. And many times in history, they've actually succeeded in controlling a large part of our planet and the cultures here. And they do it through channeling as well as other means. There are negative beings in other realms that channel through the elite and are giving them direction. And this is far more widespread than you'd ever believe because it's kept secret. And what we're doing has to come from the grassroots. And we're creating a energy that is supersedes the energy of the negative. We're not going against them. We're not polarizing with them. We are going above it and bringing energy into this planet for from the higher realms that has the potential to transmute these negative agendas. And we're working with the sources that they can't work with. So there's a huge amount of power in what we do. And we're just a small group. But we're not going to stay that way. And we have millions of beings in Elohim group and Ra group that they say they're working with us. So we come together as a group just by attention. And we're not losing ourselves. We're making a temporary coalition. And we're doing it out of our own free will and our own volition. And as I understand it, we are actually creating something in other dimensions that we can't see, but we can feel. But they can see it. We're moving energy. Notice the quality of the silence. Notice the energy in between the words. Notice that if I stop talking, the energy stays. And now, through intention, we're going to move that energy. And we're going to move it. And we can visualize it as a huge light coming from the center of the universe. And that we are part of that light. And our sources are part of that light. And we surround our planet in that light. And there's millions of beings on our planet who are reaching for this. According to the Ra group, there's 65 million, this was in 1981, 65 million Ra wanderers that chose to take incarnations on our planet. It's probably far more than that at this point. And they chose to come here. They chose to take bodies from higher dimensions as a sacrifice to help lift the vibration of our planet. And many of you who are listening are those people. And like everyone who comes into this realm, once you're here, you have amnesia. And you don't remember why you're here. And then you're brought up in a family. And you take on all of the distortions of that family and that society. So we are bringing this energy in, and we connect with every one of those beings of higher intent that are not on this call, but their high selves can feel it. We make the connections, and if they choose to participate, they are welcome. And as we surround Earth with this cloud, there are many dark spots all over our planet. We have to move through them. We have to find the cracks. We have to find the pathways, which are there. We can see this light filtering itself through those pathways. And moving through us into the earth herself. Now, since this is all following our intention, since we're creating it, we move this energy over the Pacific Ocean. And the land masses surrounding the Pacific Ocean, which is called the Ring of Fire, which is the area of highest earthquake potential on our planet. And of course, if you go and look at the earthquakes in the last 10 years, you'll see many earthquakes have happened in this area. Just last week, there was an earthquake in Alaska, but not on a population center. And we have been asking that earthquakes should occur, which they will occur, they have to occur. It's part of the Earth's releasing. We ask that earthquakes occur away from population centers and in small doses. In other words, that energy be released in small earthquakes, series of them, rather than a devastating earthquake. And we see this energy moving from the tip of South America, up the western coast of South America, penetrating through the earth and surrounding any earthquake faults, up through Central America. You can just see a map and visualize the map, and up through Mexico, and Baja California, and up through the United States, starting with the area around San Diego, and the beautiful coastline from San Diego to Oceanside. If you live in one of these areas, take additional personal responsibility for anchoring the energy there through your body into the earth. We go to Orange County, Los Angeles. Many earthquake faults in Los Angeles area. We see them all being mitigated. And we go from Los Angeles to Ventura, Santa Barbara, up the coast, San Francisco, the area, San Francisco, Berkeley, Marin County, Concord, up to Northern California, Oregon, Washington, Mount Hood, Mount Rainier, two potential volcanoes, up through Vancouver, up the coast of Canada, across to the southern coast of Alaska, down the eastern coast of the Soviet Union or Russia, down to Indonesia, Hong Kong, Singapore, Japan. We ask for a capping of radiation from Fukushima. And down to Australia and New Zealand. Hawaii, the Fuji Islands, all the islands in the Pacific. And we just act like focal points. We can zoom out and see this whole area that we've just talked about with huge beams of energy coming down that we are creating with the support of our sources. Now, maybe there's other groups helping to create this too, and we honor them all, but we are doing it right now. Hold that space. Some of you are feeling your crown chakra and your the top of your head vibrant. And what's happening is the energy is going out of the top of your head, and it's joining all of the others that are going out of the top of their heads. And we're creating this space in another dimension that's real. We'll move our cloud of light over the St. Louis area and work with the New Madrid fault line. And do the same thing. And now to the Mid-Atlantic fault. And we can surround our entire planet again with this energy, and that any fault lines anywhere on our planet can receive this energy. And let's ask for rain while we're around our planet. Rain in those areas where there's drought. And that food might be abundant. let's send this energy to every government, every head of state, every decision maker with the attached request that decisions be made out of compassion, out of the view of the law of one, where there's no hierarchy, and everyone has an equality, from the most poor to the most rich to the elite. We ask for the request that no nuclear weapons be allowed to go off, that they should be disabled. We ask that any harmful, toxic materials in chemtrails be molecularly modified so they're not harmful. We ask for the movement of truth through all those things on the internet, from YouTube, from all the websites where people are trying to expose various things, that they move into the consensus. We ask that the collective consciousness of humankind be protected from fear. And we send support to every group on our planet that is operating on higher principles, on creating their own pathways for co-creative, loving connections. If we bring this energy right now back to ourselves, back through the tops of our heads, and we let it move through our bodies, and we give ourselves the strength and the courage and the passion and the healing to play our highest role in this crucial period of the evolution of humankind. And again, if you're one of those that needs a healing in their physical body, ask for this energy to work with you. And ask for a shift. So on that note, we can bring this session to a close.